Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Preacher and the Miracle Man show here on this Tuesday, March 12th of 2019. I'm your host, Miracle Man, and I really want to thank you for joining this program tonight. And my belief is that you've come ready to receive from the Lord, as we're going to get into the Word in a little bit. But we have some other stuff that we're going to do first. I like to call it icebreaker stuff. Monologue. And I have it. So, one thing to think about is that March 12th, you know what, folks? We're almost halfway through March, believe it or not. It's actually been flying by. February didn't go by near this fast. Maybe it's because it's starting to get a little warmer outside. Notice I said a little. Actually, today's not terrible. It did hit 40. Tomorrow we're going to 47, Thursday 63, but we got a problem. Rain. And I don't want it. Yeah, it might be good for the crops and that, but we got a bunch of ice outside right now because it had snowed a bit a while back and then it melted and we had some freezing rain and then it froze back up again. And so once that melts, it's going to make everything an muddy mess. And it can, like, stick to your shoes and that. I don't like that. So can we please just have it be sunny in 63 so we don't have to deal with that? The good news is, folks, is that this is the fifth show in a row that I've gotten to go without having to give an advisory from the National Weather Service. Yay! Because it literally seems like every other day, sometimes it seems like it was every day, that I would come on here and I'd have to mention an advisory or a watch or a warning that was put out by the National Weather Service for something that pertained either to snow, cold, wind, freezing rain. Hopefully there won't be a flood watch, because that wouldn't be no good either. But next week, it looks like we'll start out in the 30s and then start working our way up again. The furthest my phone goes is to next Thursday. I'll have to look at that AccuWeather 15-day forecast. My hope is that it can have some more 50s and 60s in there as we get to 2 weeks from now would be the 26th. So then you're looking at almost to April. 9 days to spring, so in a few days, it'll be spring is here. Right now, it's spring is on its way. Five of the most comforting words you could hear right now for a man. You know, when I think of something comforting, obviously, it's more comforting when you hear, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's a good comfort verse. That's more powerful. But spring is here. Spring is on its way. Still sounds awesome. But summer, that's even better. But we'll have to wait until June or late May for that. Depends on what tricks Mother Nature has up her sleeves this year. we'll just have to wait and see, because you may remember, Rachel, last year we hit low 90s on by May 23rd, May 24th, we had hit low 90s. Remember?
Yeah.
I remember now. Our first 90 degree day was actually on, let me think here. It was May 27th, I believe. May 27th, yep.
Oh, really?
Sunday, May 27th. You thought it was the 24th or something, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yep, 27th, because the 28th was Memorial Day, and we hit it that day, too. Well, we'll have to wait and see. So it looks like hopefully I won't have to talk about any more advisories from the Weather Service that have to pertain to winter. But we'll have to wait and see what springs up. The St. Patrick's Day Parade in Bay City on Sunday. It's supposed to be only in the upper 30s that day at the high. I don't know about the wind situation yet. There's a 40% chance of rain, snow mix. The night before, it's supposed to go down to 20. Hopefully it'll warm up a bit. To wait and see, because I want to hear those bands. I also want a donut from Cops and Donuts, because over in Bay City they got a Cops and Donuts there. By the way, folks, if you happen to be listening to this program and you're over near the Bay City, Clare, Mount Pleasant, or now the Lansing area, you can stop into a Cops and Donuts location. For example, in Bay City, they are on Midland Street at Henry and Clare. They're just about a mile off the highway. In Mount Pleasant, they're on South Mission. I don't know exactly where they are in the Lansing area, though. But there's four Cops and Donut locations. They all have cop memorabilia on the wall. It's pretty cool. I was hoping Midland would get one, because I still think we need one. We still need one. A Cops and Donuts in Midland. We need one. Because one donut shop in Midland right now, their owner doesn't exactly have a passion for donuts.
Really?
I'm not talking about the gourmet cupcake shop. I'm talking about the one down on the circle.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a DQ, don't you think, when your owner doesn't necessarily have a passion for donuts?
Oh, yeah.
Because to me, that's really important. And they can make somewhat decent donuts all they want, but they don't compare to the gourmet cupcake shop or to any of the donut places I've been to that are downstate. Anything that's not a Dunkin' Donuts or a Tim Hortons, that is. But hopefully the weather is good. They have lots of different awesome donut flavors there. My go-to is the Deputy, which is chocolate and peanut butter together on a nice long john. Very delicious. You won't be sorry that you ate it, because it's just wonderful. And it's been a while since I've had a Toppin' Donut. They got some good stuff there. And if you happen to stop in Bay City, you can also stop by the Old Hot and Now over there on Wilder. And now it's Burger 81. they claim, I've heard someone say that they actually use the old hot and now recipes. I hope it's true. I really do. Because it is sad to me that there is now only one hot and now left in Michigan, and it's all the way on the southwest side. Not even in the Detroit area. It's all the way over in like Sturgis, which I never go to. And wish I knew some people who had been there, because I don't know about you. I am not in the mood to hear them say, "Oh, by the way, yeah, we use the old hot and now recipe." And then to go there and find out that they're nothing like it, that'd be terrible, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Because you've been to Hot and Now before. You've heard of Hot and Now, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Did you go to the Bay City one when it was Hot and Now?
Yes.
Was it really good stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Yup. Right by Raley's, too, just like how it used to be in Midland when I was younger and when you were like a little baby. Because we used to have a Hot and Now and a Checkers Raley's right across the road from each other.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that Hot and Now is the Tony's. Yeah, nothing wrong with Tony's. They give you good amounts of food, but they're, for one thing, they're expensive. And secondly, why couldn't we keep a Hot and Now? 17 years later, I'm still asking that. And when I was younger, I used to just think of it as a burger place, but after going to Mount Pleasant's and then Bay City's later, I really began to appreciate it. And it's been sad to see the amount of Hot and Now's go down. First, Midland's went. Mount Pleasant went. Saginaw went. Then Bay City. We're down to one. And I'd really like to see that chain resurrected, so that there's more than just one of them left. And I want to know something else they have, folks, is a Ponderosa Steakhouse right there on Wilder. We used to have one of them.
I know. It was my favorite.
What?
It was my favorite.
Yes. But guess what? They decided it's gone and replaced it with CVS Pharmacy. I don't even care to go in that store. And that's mainly why. Because they took out Ponderosa to put it in there. And so I'm like, mm-mm. And if I knew the property owner, I would ask him why he did that. Because I don't know about you, but I want some wings.
That sounds really good right now, Rose.
I want that Ponderosa buffet. Yes, I want all the potatoes and some potatoes and some of that pizza and the mashed potatoes and mac and cheese and the meatloaf and the meatballs and fish and whatever else is that. He's on there right now, but you know what I really want? Wings. Big time. And there's only like one or two in the Detroit area left. There's one in Bay City, one in Mount Pleasant, one in Clare, and one in West Branch as far as the Great Lakes Bay / Mid-Michigan area. We're down to four left. I hope we stay there or that another one opens. Because I don't want to see him go away. Because I want the wings. Because everyone and their child needs some wings from Ponderosa. I say and their child because that was when I first learned about it, of course. And we used to go there quite a bit. Because they had the buffet and we were able to choose what we wanted on the plates. Well, worked out good for us. Over the years, we went a bit less. I remember when Ponderosa closed here in town 5 years ago, I had a big huge nostalgia kick for him, big time. I remember we were going to a funeral in Cadillac for a family member, an older family member that didn't always come to everything. We died. Guess where we went, though, on the way to the funeral? We went to Ponderosa because I wanted the buffet, and which is good because the food at the funeral luncheon wasn't all that good, and I didn't end up eating much of it at all. So I ended up going to the Ponderosa Grand Buffet there in trying to think. Did I go to Claire or to Cadillac? I think I went to Claire. No, Cadillac. As Cadillac is still one of the towns that has a Ponderosa in it. And Bay City. And the same guy that owns Bay City also owned Midland. So I don't know why Jerry Dean or whatever. No, Jerry Deming, that was his last name. I don't know why he decided it wasn't worth $1 million. Nor do I know how that business fell 30% off of its peak. The mall's done worse. I think the mall's at least 50% off its peak. Don't you? So if they took down that Ponderosa, they should just demolish the mall because the mall's down even more.
Don't you like the mall?
Yeah, but I'm just thinking in theory.
Okay, you would.
I was just saying in theory.
Yeah, you're right.
Theory thinking they should have kept Ponderosa, taken out the mall, you know? Because it wasn't down. Or better yet, I have an idea. Here's what you do. You could put Ponderosa in part of one of the former Anchor stores.
Oh my gosh, you're totally right.
It's got to be a part of it, and there'll have to be some other places in that, and then we need to, and then I want a separate Ponderosa Express counter in the food court, which would still be buffet, but you tell them what you want, and then they put it on a plate or like in a container in a bag for you know what I mean? And you just pay a certain price and then you get everything you want, you know what I mean?
Right. Because
I'd like it that way, because then you just go up there and tell them, you know,
mm-hmm.
Six wings, mashed potatoes, all that kind of stuff. Like that would actually be a good idea.
Yeah,
Because I'm thinking about Ponderosa, and I just had dinner, folks, and all I'm doing is sort of making myself not exactly hungry, like in the sense that I'd eat them right now, but I'd wanna, you know. But it's really good stuff, and I'm gonna move on because I don't want time to run away from me. Listeners, there's one more thing I want to tell you before I tell you guys about how to tell others how to listen to the show. And that is a reminder about the donut sticks at McDonald's. Now, they are only available in the morning up until 10:30 a.m., and also, a McDonald's, the Meridian McDonald's has chosen not to sell them, even though they're a corporate store. That's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah.
Did you know that they didn't sell them, or am I the first one that told you?
You're the first one that told me.
I hope that's just a rumor. I'm going to call them tomorrow morning, and I'm going to ask them, you know, I'm just a member of the media calling to ask to see if you guys happen to have the donut sticks.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope they say yes and actually have them, and that was just a rumor, because they're supposed to all have them. But if they're supposed to only be until May 11th that they keep them, but we'll wait and see. As they are very delicious. All right, folks, listeners, you are, yes, you are the mouthpiece advertising for this radio program. You guys are the advertisements. Now, I'll do my stuff too, get the word out on Facebook, but you folks, it's up to you to tell other people about this great radio program, the Return Miracle Man. Tell those you know, your friends, family members, coworkers, enemies, even if you knew the person that shut down your local Ponderosa. I don't know if I'd tell him or not. Would you? Would you tell him if you live right next to a Ponderosa and then he decided to close it? Would you tell him or no? I take it you wouldn't, would you? I still would, even though I wouldn't be happy that he decided to close it. And, but here's what you can tell prospective listeners. You can tell them, here's how you be a part of this great radio program. You log on to blogtalkradio.com. Once again, that website is blogtalkradio.com, all one word. You can access it from your laptop, from your phone, from your... Now, there is no Blog Talk Radio app on the iPhone App Store. I don't know about Android. I don't use Android. So I don't have the answer as to whether or not they have them. But iPhone App Store doesn't have one. Have an app for Blog Talk Radio. But you can go to blogtalkradio.com. In the search bar, you will type in Upfront Entertainment. Okay, Upfront Entertainment. After that, you'll see a link that says Live and Large. We want you to click on that link. After you click on that link, you'll see a button that says Miracle Man. Go ahead and click on that. Then you'll see a button that says the follow button. We want you to hit that because then you're going to start getting notified every time we get ready to do a show. So, tomorrow night at 6:30, we'll do our next show. You'll get notified at like 6, 6:15. And then next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 6:30, yep, same thing. And then we're just going to keep it on go rolling. And the cool thing, you can listen to this program about anywhere that you are, that you have a decent internet connection. Be it Wi-Fi or 3G or 4G. They're coming out with the 5G now. I don't know exactly how that's going to work. We'll just have to wait and see. My understanding is that some of it will be out in 2019 or 2020. Don't know exactly when, but somewhat soon. And then, in other words, you can listen to it at your son's or daughter's basketball game or volleyball game or wherever. And it's always a smart thing to listen to this program on your smartphone. couple other things I want to tell you about the show, and then I'll give the phone number. We are not, I am absolutely not, a Bible-thumping bully. I don't want you going around telling other people, oh, that Bible-thumping bully on that radio program. Hey, no, I'm not a Bible-thumping bully. I am a born-again, spirit-filled, fire-baptized man of God, bringing you the Word. I have a goal to change the world through faith and radio. And we always, and every time I come on here, I pray to God, help me that, Jesus. My goal is to change the world through faith and radio. Because we deal a lot with faith here on the Miracle Man. It's part of the foundation of this great radio program. That's why I'm always going back to Hebrews 11 all the time. At least once a week. Not one week goes by that I don't open Hebrews 11 on the show and read it. Why do you do that? Two reasons. One, that's the foundation of the show. Two, all those stories in there and examples of people walking by faith. That's why you hear me read Hebrews 11 all the time. So it's not like, oh, he's bored. He doesn't have anything else he can read. Uh-uh. That's the faith chapter. Okay. Now, the phone number. Folks, you are welcome to call in to this show anytime that the show is between 6:30 and pretty close to 8 o'clock, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Free to talk to me about basically anything you wish to talk about, as long as it's not political, as long as it's not politics. And no, I am not anti-politics. I follow the news. I follow what's going on. But just believe that talking about all that on the show is not exactly the direction that I want to take this program in. So, we'll talk about the Bible. We'll talk about sports. We'll talk about food. We can talk about other events going on that aren't political. We can talk about why you really think the grass is greener on the other side. You're welcome to call in and talk. Do you need prayer? Do you want someone that'll just pray with you? If you're going through a hard time, we can pray together. Or whatever it is that you're looking for. And the number to call in to be a part of this great radio program is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that is area 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts, and then go ahead and press 1. And hear that. And it says to call into a live show. Go ahead and press 1. After you do that, you'll be taken through a call screener. My assistant will answer the phone, and then she will let me know that we have a caller. And then I'll say, okay. She'll ask you where you're from. And then, so that I can properly identify you. And then I'm going to let you on. And I'll say, what say you? And then you can come on and have your say. All righty. Hopefully we can get some great callers tonight. So, let's pray. Folks, listeners, can we pray in tongues for a minute? Le shikama hodrim and order. You know, praying in tongues builds up your spirit, man. That's why it's so good to do that, Christians. That's why it's so great to pray in tongues, dear Heavenly Father. I thank you for this great radio program. I thank you for all these listeners that have made the choice, a very wise choice, a divine choice, I may add, to choose to tune in to this radio program to learn about you tonight, to learn of your ways, to learn about your miracles, to learn about what you've done in us. And I just thank you that these people come with a heart ready to receive, ears ready to hear, mind that will be able to understand, as these people will be taught the incorruptible, indestructible Word of God. And I thank you that these people will never be the same. Never, never, never. Never, never, never. And they'll just be ready to concentrate on you for the next little while. Yes, they'll read the verses and participate, but they'll be focused on you, God, letting you speak. And Lord, I thank you that you use me tonight as an oracle, and that you just help me to bring forth the word with great boldness and simplicity, and just make me really sharp. And just help me say everything correctly, clearly, the way you would say it. And Lord, I just give you permission to just come on and interrupt me anytime you wish. May you just have free course for this next little bit. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to Matthew chapter 14. Praise God, Matthew 14. And hang on, that's the wrong book. I'll be going there later, though. But first, we're going to Matthew. And we're going to go to verse 1, as is customary for us. And we're going to be looking in at some awesome things Jesus did. He fed an awful lot of people, and he also, Peter walked on the water to get to him. And we're going to discover that. Just looking for my spot. Once I found it, I will begin reading. I just checked the clock. Okay, that's good. Now, so I know how much time I have. Begin with verse 1. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the reports about Jesus. And he said to his attendants, "This is John the Baptist. He has risen from the dead. That is why miraculous powers are at work in him." Now Herod had arrested John and had bound him and put him in prison because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. For John had been saying to him, "It isn't lawful for you to have her." Herod wanted to kill John, but he was afraid of the people because they considered him a prophet. On Herod's birthday, the daughter of Herodias danced for them and pleased Herod so much that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she asked. Prompted by her mother, she said, "Give me here on a planter the head of John the Baptist." The king was distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he ordered that her request be granted and had John beheaded in the prison. His head was brought in on a planter and given to the girl who carried it to her mother. John's disciples came and took his body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus. Verse 13. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowd followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Why didn't your alarm go off, Jesus? Does it say that, Rachel?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. You're supposed to say no, because there's no alarms in the Bible. There's no alarms in the Bible. I did that to make fun of Dr. Buck, Pastor's alarm. You realize that, right?
Yeah.
When evening approached, the disciples, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away, so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish." They answered, "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, lifting them up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who had ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and were ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance away from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, so very, very, very late at night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand. He reached out his hand and caught him. "O you of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt me?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And when they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. Praise God. Let's go to Hebrews 11 now. Hebrews 11. So as I said, Hebrews 11. And we're just going to see what God has for us as we just keep going by faith. We're going to begin with verse 1.
Hey guys, thank you.
Yeah. Verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what was seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. And by faith, he was commended as a righteous man. And when God spoke well of his offering, and by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken for this from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away. For he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. But with faith, it is possible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. And he lived in tents. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city of foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father, because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return, since they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, he offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value
from the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. The walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I don't have the time to tell Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death with the sword. They went about and sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. I'm going to read the first two verses of Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Now, what you saw in Matthew 14 is Jesus first you see him doing what he was best at doing, talking to the disciples, talking to people, doing what he did best. First, that Herod thing. And why she wanted to be the head of Herod, we may never know. The head of John the Baptist. We may never know why. But that's what ended up happening. But then Jesus goes over to, after that happened, Jesus ends up going over to another solitary place.
and he's trying to have some time with his disciples to be able to preach to the disciples. However, the word about Jesus was going around. And people came, thousands of them, they came right there. They had church right there, right by the lake. And Jesus delivered the word right there where they were. And since the Bible is still being written, I don't know what Jesus would have read from. I'm curious. Nonetheless, I know this. The Word of God was there. And Jesus kept preaching. It's hard to tell how long, but I imagine it was for several hours that he preached. And then the disciples came to him and said, "Jesus, this is a remote place. It's already getting late. Now I imagine right there, you know, people were talking and that, and I imagine Jesus kind of let him have a little stretch break. He would have had to have, because he preached for a long time. But he said, the disciples came and said, "It's a remote place. It's already getting late. Send them away so they can go buy some food. And then maybe they could come back and you can keep preaching." And he said, "How about you feed them here? What you got?" Like how if I ask, you know, what's in the fridge? But there wasn't a fridge there, but he was like, "What's available?" And they said, "You know, we got a boy here, 5 loaves, 2 fish. And so they bring him to Jesus. Jesus gave thanks, broke the loaves. And then something miraculous happened. There was only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. How is that going to feed 10,000 people? Well, it was called the miracle of multiplication. It was miraculous, because that kind of thing doesn't just happen on its own. And everybody ate and was satisfied. They didn't just get a little, you know, wimpy little crumble of bread. And like one of these little fishy thingies. When I was little, I used to think they were those little filet of fish sandwiches from McDonald's or from Gordon Food Service or something. I don't think they were though, because I don't think there was a deep fryer yet. No wonder I'm thinking about Jesus when I eat a fish sandwich. No, I know that's not why I like a fish sandwich, but I'll just kind of tease him. But that miracle did happen. There was a miracle of multiplication. Whatever you have need of, you can think, oh, it's not enough. If you have faith, Jesus can multiply it for you. It can be multiplied. And I've heard of multiple stories of that happening before. Multiple. After that, Jesus basically says,
hey, disciples, I would like to have you go and get in the boat. And then he says that we want to go to, and then he tells them, first off, in the Bible, it doesn't say where they were going to go, but it does say they landed at Gennesaret. So I imagine that's where he told them where they were going to go. So he said, we're going to go to Gennesaret. I want you to get in the boat, and then I might catch up with you. They get in the boat. Jesus dismisses the crowd. Prays a blessing over them. Thanks them for coming. Then he goes up in the mountainside to pray by himself. Then, very deep into the middle of the night, it was in the fourth watch. I don't know what time that is. Rachel, do you have any idea what time fourth watch would be?
No idea, Rachel.
Do you imagine like 4 o'clock or something? Kind of close to it? Maybe 3 o'clock?
Yeah. Because
it's not one watch per hour, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's probably like, so it's probably wee hours, you imagine? Wee hours, but certainly not 2 o'clock, more like 3, 4. Yep, so kind of wee hours in the morning. And, I'm not going to give times exact because I don't want to twist it at all. If I knew exactly what fourth watch, then I would describe it in times so you'd be able to understand, folks, what it meant. But fourth watch, they go out there. I mean, they're out there. Rowing the boat across. You know, your boat down the lake. But then suddenly a storm comes. And Jesus sees that storm. He comes out to where the disciples are. And they see him walking on the water to them. But some of the disciples sit there and they start saying, oh, that's a ghost. That's not Jesus coming. That's a ghost. That's a ghost. What's this? But then Jesus says, and then he says, Peter says, if it's you, let me come to you on the water. Jesus says, well, then come on, Peter. He's out of that boat, tries to walk on the water to go to Jesus. He feels that wind, and he's starting to sink a little bit. He cries out, Lord, save me. And then Jesus says, Peter, you have a little faith. Why did you doubt me? They get back into the boat, and then the disciples say, when they get into the boat, the wind dies down, and then they say, surely this is the Son of God. Here's the thing. These people, these disciples, had seen him perform miracles before. Heal sick people. Heal a mother-in-law with a fever. Do other things, and other things, and other things, and other things that were absolute miracles. But then they sit there and wonder how he's able to do it. Now I know with the healings of the certain healings he just spoke the word and then the people were healed. Other times he did different things, but what it is
like when the winds were all going crazy, Jesus just rebuked them. And then they died, and then they died right down. And for whatever reason, they can't understand. They couldn't understand. Oh, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. I don't know about you, but I don't doubt Jesus. Yes, sometimes when I'm praying, I'm believing God for something or whatever. And you may say, Miracle Man, do you ever wish your sight came sooner? Well, I refuse to allow myself to feel sorry. Gotta feel like, oh, the Lord's not gonna do it. Apparently, the healing business is closed down. Okay, what's next? You see, that would be doubt and unbelief. And I do not live in doubt and unbelief. That's a dangerous place to be in, living in doubt and unbelief. I choose not to live there. I live by faith, believing that Jesus will do what he said in his word. That is what faith is, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I'm evidence that faith works. Because I should have died a long time ago, but still here. By the grace of God. And only by the grace of God. Without the grace of God, I don't know where I'd be. No idea. Not where I am, that much. I wouldn't be doing this show, not for the grace of God, I know that much. I'm not being negative, I'm just telling the truth. And I choose to live in faith every day. Or an acronym that can help you remember this, LIFE. Living in faith. Living or live, however you want to be. Live in faith every day. It should really, that could possibly be LIFED, but the everyday part depends on whether you want to consider life, I mean, every day as one word or two separate words. That's up for you folks to decide. I'm not going to choose for you. Because, quite frankly, I should let you folks decide. But he is a miracle worker, and he wants to work on the inside of us. We got to believe, though, that he exists. one thing you can do that would be so great for you? And God actually requires this if you want to make heaven, and that is to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. The other thing you got to do, though, to live by faith, realize that he exists and know that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Oh, by the way, earnestly doesn't mean once in a while. Earnestly means all the time. And it means you're diligent about it. It shows you're diligent, you care, you're serious. Because God doesn't want to play games. I don't think you want to play games with God either. I sure don't. Because to me, there's no use for playing games with God. So, that's why I don't do that. You can do what you want. I'm not going to stop you. But you got to choose for yourself. Am I going to believe in God or not? Am I going to walk by faith? Or am I just going to walk by sight? Am I going to call those things that are not as though they are? Or am I just going to You're going to have to choose. I'm not going to sit here and take time to choose for you. As a matter of fact, I can't. Because I'm not God. Pray. No, first I got a testimony I'm going to give. During Wednesday night of the Holy Spirit Conference, Dr. Barclay announced that God had told him, "I'm healing in the spine area right now." He called out spines. My mother, she's been dealing with a little something in her spine. Some weakness there. And she felt some strength build up there. Like she had been made stronger and pain had left. There had been like some pain relief. She hadn't been taking any certain medicine. She just suddenly felt better. That is the power of God. That is miracle healing. And I thank God for the healing power of God moving in people's lives. And so glad that I serve such a mighty God. So glad about that. I am. I'm not just going to sit here and say that, because I mean it. Yes. Now, we're going to pray and we're going to move on. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you that for those who chose to be a part of this program tonight. And Lord, I just thank you for this word tonight that will get it on the inside of us and that we'll just always believe that you exist, that we will always believe that you exist and We won't doubt you, but we'll just live wholeheartedly for you and we'll believe you, and that we'll be doers of this word and not just hearers or readers only. And I just thank you that your spirit is poured out upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's talk about some sports. First of all, we have some high school predictions to give out. I am going to pick four different games. Game one, Saginaw versus Howell. I don't know any of these games that are. They're all at neutral site. But Saginaw versus Howell is tonight at 7. And Saginaw has 3 losses. I think Howell has more than that. I'll have to look at that to make sure. But can Saginaw do what they did to beat Midland in order to beat Howell in advance to East Lansing? I say yes. Trojan Horse, 68. Howling with the Wind, 63. Now, let's go over to another Division One game. Okemos versus Kentwood. My pick, Kentwood, 58. Holy Smokes, 53. Another Class A, Division One. Martin Luther King is taking on. Oh my! Oh, it's Delaney Lincoln. Yep. So my pick. King of Wishful Thinking. 76. Lincoln Logs, 67. And now, Division III. Sanford Meridian versus Iron Mountain. Meridian makes it. This would be their first trip to East Lansing for Meridian, possibly ever. My pick. My Mustang, 69. Iron Man, 63. So those are your picks for the high school quarterfinals there in Michigan, with that features Son of Swami and these nicknames. I did not look at to see what he said, if he did them tonight. I come up with my own. Sometimes I use his, sometimes I come up with my own. Detroit, what on earth happened? What on earth happened? Well, Sunday night, Detroit beats Chicago by putting up 134 points. Giving up 104. Last night, Detroit scores 75 but they give up 103. So they give up one less point than they did the night before. The problem is that offense weren't... How about that? Just frustrating. They basically scored just over half the points they had the previous night. That's pretty sleepy, isn't it? That is pretty sleepy, isn't it? Yes, it is. I don't know exactly what went wrong, but I just know they didn't have a very good night. Now, for the tournament. Both of them play on Friday. Michigan State is the one seed. Michigan is the two seed. If Michigan State wins this championship, they would probably be a one seed. If Michigan, however, wins the championship, they will probably be a two seed. Now, for those Lions free agents, that's part of what I want to talk about tomorrow night here as part of the Miracle Man radio show, which is always here at a McDonald's. So, folks, until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody.